We're going to be this morning in the book of Psalm, chapter 23. So if you want to get there in your Bible, Psalm 23. I want to welcome you to King's Church this morning. My name is Lee. I'm one of the pastors here. If you're a visitor, a guest with us for the first time, I just want to extend a warm welcome to you. Thank you so much. You could be anywhere else this Sunday morning, but you're here worshiping with us, and so we're so grateful that you took the opportunity to come. Right now, we're actually in the middle of a sermon series that we've entitled, Behold Our God. And the idea is, you know, so many times in our lives, we get so me-focused. We get distracted by our jobs, our life, everything that's going on around us, that we begin to be tunnel vision, and we begin to look at ourselves. And in this series, our heart is to encourage us to look up. Look at who God is. Look at what God's done for us. And so we've been traveling through this series for a couple of weeks now, and today we're going to look at the 23rd Psalm, and we're going to do this. We're going to behold our God as our shepherd. How many of you know that the Lord is our shepherd? Amen? Some of you may know this name, Richard Burton. Anybody know that name? Richard Burton is perhaps one of the greatest Shakespearean actors of the 20th century. He had a voice that would just bring you to your knees. He had a way of sucking people in. He had the depth in his voice, yet it was smooth and it was commanding. And so when Richard spoke, people listened. And he was a beloved actor. Maybe some of you seasoned saints in the room know what I'm talking about. He had a way of just using the tone and the dictation of his voice to bring the words that he was saying to life. For us younger people, think Morgan Freeman, one of my favorite actors. I could listen to his voice all day long. Well, Richard Burton, on one occasion, many years ago, he actually went back to his childhood church, and he was there. And while he was there, of course, the congregation asked him to get up and to recite something. And so he said, you know what, I will do this, but on one condition. So I'm going to recite the 23rd Psalm, but only if my old pastor will get up and do the same thing. And so Richard, he gets up and he gives this incredible reciting of God's word from Psalm 23. And when he gets done, the people are applauding. They're hoorahing. He does this great job at Psalm 23. And then the pastor gets up and he recites, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And when he finished reciting the whole psalm, there wasn't a dry eye in the whole place. The people were weeping. And Richard got up again. He said, you know something? He said, I reached your eyes and your ears, but this pastor reached your heart. And here's the difference. I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. And this is exactly the heart of what is going on in Psalm 23. David is speaking. And I would say to us this morning that it's one thing to know Psalm 23, and it's another thing to know the shepherd behind Psalm 23. Amen? David wasn't just writing these poetic lines. He actually lived them. He was writing as someone who had been led, who had been carried by God. And we know the scripture tells us that he was. In fact, most scholars believe that Psalm 23 was written actually later in David's life. He was kind of reflecting back on all the things that he's experienced. And David, for one, knows pain. He knows struggle, right? He lost an infant son. One of his sons tried to kill him because he was jealous of him. He spent many years hiding in the desert in caves from a man named Saul who was trying to kill him because he was jealous because God had ordained for David to be the king. And he looked for God to sustain him. But David also experienced heartache from his own sin. You know the story with Bathsheba. And yet God had forgiven him and restored him. God delivered David from the hands of the giant, Goliath. And so David knew what a shepherd was because at one point in his life, the scripture also tells us that David was a shepherd boy. He knew what it was like to be among the sheep. And so David is just not writing these poetic words that are so beautiful, and they are, but he's writing as someone who has experienced the love of a shepherd. Here's my big idea this morning that I want to encourage us with. Number one, the Lord is not just a shepherd. He's my shepherd. And for those of us who have faith in Christ this morning, for those of us who lean into him for hope and peace and joy and have allowed him to carry us through life, you have experienced the same thing. The Lord is not just a shepherd, but he is your shepherd. He's my shepherd. The Lord is shepherd. See, David has seen God be his strength when he was weak. He's seen God be faithful when he had failed. He's seen God be near when everything else was falling apart. The Lord was not just a shepherd to David. The Lord, as David said, is my shepherd. And I want to encourage us with this morning. How does the Lord shepherd me? How does the Lord shepherd me? I want us to think through that. Let's read the first four verses of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. How does the Lord shepherd us today? I'm going to give us four things this morning. Number one, he cares for me. Anybody attest to that? The Lord cares for me. Most of us have heard this psalm before. There's this universal appeal to this psalm, that it speaks comfort in those uncomfortable situations. This psalm is actually a psalm of confidence. David is speaking from experience. The Lord has shepherded me. In fact, we could say, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is speaking as one who has experienced the love, the guidance. And so, this morning, this psalm is for us. This psalm is for the parent whose kid is in rebellion. This psalm is for the couple who, month after month, have been waiting and hoping and praying that that pregnancy test would be different. It's for the spouse who has been praying desperately and wanting that their husband to seek after the Lord. This psalm is for the person who recently lost their job and they don't know what to do. This psalm is for you, and this psalm is for me. I heard a preacher say one time that in life, we have struggles. I'll say valleys. The valleys in our life are inevitable. And here's the thing. Either right now you are in the midst of a valley and you're going through it. You're being beaten around. Or you just came out of a valley. You were in a season of hurt and pain and struggle. Or you're about to go into another valley. That's life. And life is full of valleys. And so this psalm this morning is a psalm of confidence. But it's also a psalm of comfort for when we find ourselves in that valley place. And I want to encourage us that the Lord is your shepherd. If you have submitted to him as your Savior, the Lord is your shepherd in the valley. Now and for the rest of your life. And so David starts by calling God my shepherd. I love that. All throughout the Old Testament, God's people would say that the Lord is our shepherd. We see that in the text. But David here says, the Lord is my shepherd. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, if he be a shepherd to no one else, he is a shepherd to me. So profound. How could Charles say this? Because he experienced the love and the care. He is speaking from experience. And David is speaking the same way, that he has known the Lord's provision through every season. And so I want to encourage us with this, that the Lord, your shepherd, cares for you. Then David says, I shall not want. In other words, he's saying, I don't lack anything that I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't lack anything that I need. Then he says in verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In other words, he knows exactly where to take us. He knows exactly what we need, and he provides for us. If we read this psalm in a Western perspective, we miss a lot of depth and detail in this psalm. Because I don't know about you, but growing up, when I heard the 23rd psalm, and I heard that he leads me to lie down in green pastures, in my mind, this is what I think, and maybe you do too. I think belly deep alfalfa. You can just flop down in, and it's just so comfortable. Maybe there's a stream nearby. Maybe because I was in a hammock yesterday, there's a hammock between two trees, and you're sitting there, and you're just relaxing. Maybe there's this red barn in the distance, and it's the idea that, man, we have so much. This is so awesome because the Lord is my shepherd. Let me just say this. Look at the screen. This is the green pasture that David is talking about. Doesn't look very green. It doesn't look much like a pasture, does it? No, in fact, in ancient Israel, where David is writing from, he's talking about a desert place. And one of the things that we know about the desert place is that sometimes food and water are scarce. And so there's no luscious green alfalfa. There's no hammock between the trees. But there's tufts. If you go to the next slide, I'll show you a tuft. This is a tuft of grass in that desert that David is referring to. And he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, still waters. And so David was writing as one from this perspective to say, I need the Lord. And when things are sparse around me, like he leads me to this tuft of grass so that he provides exactly what I need. And still waters didn't mean a beautiful lake. It referred to like small drinkable pools. Again, they were in the desert. And so when we as Westerners, maybe you're like that, like me as well, when we think of green pastures and still waters, we picture luxury and plenty. But that's not what David's talking about. He said that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He provides for me. A good shepherd would actually lead his flock around the mountain from tuft to tuft, to piece of grass to grass to piece of grass. And it was actually like one mouthful at a time. And so, in other words, the sheep had to trust the shepherd for every bite. There wasn't just plenty all around. He had to follow and watch after the shepherd so that the shepherd could show him, lead him to that next piece of food. And that's how oftentimes God meets our needs, isn't it? Just enough for today. Just enough peace. Just enough strength. Provision. Not always what we want, but always what we need. The Lord is my shepherd, David says. He cares for me. This is not the prosperity gospel if you haven't picked that up yet. That God provides exactly what we need. Following him does not promise abundance and plenty and luxury. It means that he will meet our needs. And then David says, he restores my soul. That word restore means to return or to be brought back, to revive or to renew. And so David isn't just talking about the Lord refreshing him after a long day. He's talking about a shepherd who rescues the weary, who rescues the wounded and the wandering sheep, that he brings them to safety. And certainly David has experienced this kind of shepherding in his life. I don't know what you've been dealing with. I don't know your workplace. I don't know your family situation. I don't know your finances. I don't know your marriage. But I want you to know this, that our God cares for you. He is your shepherd. He is with you. He takes care of you. The Bible tells us that he sees and he knows, that he has counted every hair on our head. And for some of us, that's a really easy job to do. But for others of us, he took the time to count our hairs. Why? Because he knows us. He loves us. He cares about us. And so you may be going through trials. Maybe you're in a valley right now. Maybe you're going through pain. Our God is saying to you, I am your shepherd, and I care for you. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, I want you to hear that. That your God cares for you. He provides exactly what you need. Love in Matthew chapter 6. It says that God cares about the birds of the air, right? He cares, he feeds them. He gives them what they need. How much more does God care about you? If he's going to take care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said this. He said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And I'll pause right here and say this, that we have a shepherd whose name is Jesus. And he put his life down so that you can have hope in life. And this morning, God meets our physical needs. But he has met our ultimate need in his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That he meets our needs, that he cares for us, that he laid down his life for us. Your shepherd cares for you. He sees you and he knows you. And so I want to encourage you with this. You can trust this morning God's provision. You can trust him. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he will carry you through. So whatever moment you see yourself in right now, whatever trial, whatever struggle, whatever mountaintop you're in, know that God is the one who is providing for you, and he will. Number two, he provides for me. Not only does a shepherd care for me, but he provides for me. I love the way that God shows us here that he cares about us. He takes us to green pastures and still waters, and he restores our souls. And listen, David is making it very clear that God is the one that is doing these things. Listen to what he says. He says, he makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. It is God who does these things. The Lord, your shepherd, provides for you. And I love this because he makes me lie down implies that sheep aren't actually naturally at rest. In fact, the conditions have to be perfect for a sheep to find rest. They have to be led by their shepherd to be settled. In fact, sheep actually won't lay down if they're not free from fear. Maybe predators are lurking. Sheep won't lay down if they're not free from friction, that they have peace with other sheep. Free from pests, flies, and parasites. Free from hunger, that they're fed and they're satisfied. They won't lay down until those things are met. In other words, the shepherd provides the conditions necessary for rest. And rest is a gift from our shepherd this morning. It's not something that the sheep can achieve on their own. It is God who knows exactly what you need when you need it. Amen? He is the one who provides for you. And this is so anti our culture. We live in a world that says, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. If you want something, you go out and get it. If you need money, go earn it. If you need this, go get it. That's our mindset. But God says, I am the provider. I am the one that gives you everything that you need. I am the one that gave you that job. I am the one that gives you the money that you have each month. I am the one who gives you healthy relationships. I am the one who provides for you every need in your life. God is our provider. In fact, Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He said that my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That God is the one who provides all the needs. And so for some of us, there's needs in our families. We have needs in our workplace. We have needs. We just have needs. And God is saying, I don't want you to get to a place where you I want you to get to a place where you trust me as your provider and don't think that you have to work harder. He provides for you. Look at number three. He protects me. He cares for me. He provides for me. He protects me. So simple, but so true. I love, this is probably my favorite part of the chapter, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, there's many times when the shepherds were actually leading the sheep through Israel. In order to get to the green pastures, they actually had to walk through the valleys. And the valleys were scary. They were dark. They were dangerous. You never knew what was lurking on the other side of that curve. Maybe it was an animal. Maybe it was a robber. You didn't know what dangers abound. But God says, even though you walk to the valley, or David did, excuse me, I will not fear. Why? Because God is with me and God will protect me. He says that your rod and your staff comfort me. What do we know about the rod and the staff? Well, rod was a short, beefy stick that the shepherd would carry. And the whole purpose of this was to fend off any harm for the sheep, be a predator or anything else. He would have that rod in his hand. If any danger came close, he would use it to get rid of it. So he protects. The staff, on the other hand, was a long, you've seen it, think candy cane, right? And he would hold that. What was the staff used for? It was actually used to guide. Because as we know, sheep are not always the smartest individuals. And so the shepherd would use that maybe to prod them along. Or if they're getting too close to the edge, he would pull them back in. He would nudge them. He would pull them away from danger. So the staff was actually meant to guide. The rod was meant to protect. And God is saying, or God tells us, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though there's darkness all around us, and even though there is pain and there is fear, you don't have to fear anything. You don't have to worry. Because the Lord has a rod and a staff. He protects us and he guides us. I don't know about you, but I think we need to remind ourselves of what he says rather than what other people say. We have to remind ourselves constantly of truth. So I want to encourage you right now, think for a moment. Like, what is the rod and the staff for you? I think in its simplest form, it's God's word for us. Why? Because God's word protects us. God's word also guides us. We need his word. We have to continually remind ourselves of his scripture. We have to remind ourselves of what God has done. Because listen, other people will lie. I will lie. The enemy will lie. But God will never lie. And so his rod and his staff, they protect. What are the rod and staff in your life? Maybe it's God's word. Maybe it's community. Maybe it's accountability. Maybe it's a small group. Maybe it's a mentor. And even though you walk around in the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear because God's rod and his staff will comfort you. I've seen how true this is in my life. I remember the year was 2014, one of the worst years of our life. We actually moved from Mississippi to California to go to seminary. And as soon as we made that decision, it just seemed like all Hades broke loose in our lives. One of my best friends got cancer. My grandfather had heart surgery, quadruple bypass. We lost a child in the midst of that. We lost Tiffany's brother, who was 17 years old. And I remember thinking to myself, Lord, why did you bring me out here to allow all this to happen? And I remember God used his word to encourage me. In a moment where I wanted to give up, I wanted to quit. I was like, you know what? I want to go back home to Mississippi. I want to be with family. I want to go where life's comfortable. And God used Luke chapter 9 in my life to encourage me. He used his rod and his staff that says, hey, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And that was the encouragement I needed. This is what I'm saying to you this morning. That your shepherd protects you. He gives you exactly what you need. He has that rod. He has that staff. Allow him to lead you. Amen? Number four. He stays by my side. How does the Lord shepherd me? He stays by my side. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I think for me, that's one of the most important promises in all of Scripture. Because it doesn't matter what we go through in our life, we can be sure that the Lord will be there with us. So David shifts from these green pastures to the dark valleys. This is a reminder for us that following the shepherd is not always easy. It's not luxury. It's not always plenty. It's not always alfalfa. Here's the bad news. That valleys in our life are inevitable. If you've lived for any amount of time, you know that's true, right? Here's the good news. You don't have to do it alone. I love what Jesus said to his disciples. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What is he saying? He says, listen, following me does not mean luxury, alfalfa. He says, in this world you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. But take heart, because I've already overcome the world. You can have peace. You can have hope. You can have rest. You can have protection. Because the Lord has already overcome. And that same shepherd that leads us to green pastures may also lead us through valleys. But here's the thing. We don't go alone. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though it's hard, even though it's hurtful, even though it's broken, even though you want to give up, even though you think that you just can't do it anymore, you don't want to do it anymore, remember that your shepherd has not left you. He's with you. He's right there in the midst of the valley. And if I'm you this morning, maybe I'm asking this question. Why do we even go through the valley? If God is so holy and so perfect, like, why do we have these moments in our life where we struggle? Why can't we have alfalfa? Why can't we have the hammock? Wouldn't it be so much better to live our life in the mountaintops? Sounds like a better place to me, right? The mountaintops. I remember in 2009, I had the opportunity to serve when I was in college in Colorado as a student intern at a church. And one of the things they do in Colorado a lot is they climb these things called 14ers. Anybody heard of that? Kind of crazy. So, well, we know this guy in the back, he lives from Colorado. He's from Colorado. 14ers, 14,000 feet elevation. And they hike these things for fun. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. But I had the privilege of hiking a couple of the four, actually hiked two of them, two 14ers. A little humble brag. I made it to the top. But I remember as I got to the top of Long's Peak, I'm telling you, breathtaking. You look out, it's like, wow, so much grandeur. It is incredible. The views. But what I learned is that life is not sustained in the mountaintop. There's not much life up there. There's beauty, There's grandeur, there's rock, there's granite. There's not much that's going on as far as life. There's very few animals. Nobody lives on the mountaintops, not on 14. Maybe in the eastern part of the United States when we live on these hills and call them mountains. But not on a 14er. You're not living up there. Life is not sustained on the mountaintops, right? Life is actually sustained where? In the valley. And I was just talking about this yesterday with someone. It's a funny thing about God is that we have these valley moments in our life. And yeah, they're painful. They're difficult. You wish they never happened. But it's in these valley moments in our life that we learn, that we grow, that we receive real nourishment, that we receive sustainability, because sustainability happens in the valley. And when you're going through pain, when you're going through hardships and trials, and you so desperately want them to go, there seems like there's no hope, no peace, no joy, no life. God is saying to you this morning, I am right there with you. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Don't forget, I'm right here. I love this picture in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Israel discovered many times this truth, over and over. And one of the times that Israel was reminded of God's faithfulness was towards the end of Moses' life. He had actually already led the people out of Egyptian slavery. They'd been wandering in the wilderness for decades. And now they're right up to the promised land. And there's just this stream, this river in front of them, between them and the promised land. And God's not removing the promised land. And maybe they're thinking in their head, like, God, you took us through like this big sea back here. Like, surely you can get us through. Listen to what the Lord says. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. Allow those words to echo in your heart this morning. Because I don't know where you are, but I know you have valley moments. And in those moments, we can know that the Lord is with us. He sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. He's the good shepherd. He came to free us from bondage and heal us and redeem us and restore us and give us hope and peace. And maybe you're here this morning and you hear me talk about the shepherd. You're like, I don't know that shepherd. I pray that today is the day you meet him, because the Lord wants to be your shepherd. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to provide for you and protect you. And the Bible teaches us that all we have to do is to come to the end of ourselves and to trust in Jesus, to ask him to forgive our sins and make him the boss and the Lord of our lives. He can be your shepherd today. I don't know where you are, but I want to encourage you. Ponder these things. Some of us have just come out of a valley. And my encouragement for you is to look back, reflect, remember what God has done. Remember how God led you and he kept you in the valley. Because the next valley you go to, and you will, you'll be encouraged that, man, the Lord, he shepherded me here. Surely he'll shepherd me over here. Some of you are in the middle of it. Here's the thing about valleys. You never know when they're going to strike. You can't say, oh, I'm going to come over here and prepare for this valley because I see it coming. Most of the time, they just hit us when we're least expecting it. Valleys just happen. That's why we have to prepare ourselves now. We allow God's tools, his rod and his staff, his word, to lead us, to protect us, to guide us. Because it's in the valley that we discover that the shepherd will never leave us. So, let me close with this. How does the Lord shepherd us? My shepherd cares for me. My shepherd provides for me. My shepherd protects me. And my shepherd never leaves me. And that is why David can say confidently, I have no want. There's nothing that I lack. Because God does these things for me. He does these things for you. So I want to leave us with a couple of questions for us to ponder this morning. We call it living to learn. Number one, have you trusted the Lord as your shepherd? Have you trusted him? I pray that today is the day that you can experience the care and the love and the compassion that comes from knowing the shepherd. Number two, what truth about your shepherd do you need to remember in the valley? The valleys are inevitable. What do you need to remember? I think for us, remembering is the first step in confidence. David can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because he remembers over the span of his life what God has done for him. What is it that you need to remember? What promise from Psalm 23 do you need to hold on to this week? I want to encourage us to think about that, pray about that this morning. I want to lead us in a word of prayer. Father, God, you are my shepherd. God, you provide. God, you have carried me this far. You have given me all that I have. And so this morning, I pray that we would just worship you for who you are, and that we would behold you as our shepherd. Because it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. God, if we just look to you, we just trust in you, and we know that you will carry us through. You will give us just what we need. So, Father, I pray this morning, the temptation is for us to look elsewhere. God, I pray we'd look to you, and we would trust in you, we would hope in you. God, I pray for the ones that are going in the valley right now. Give them strength, Lord. God, I pray for the ones who are just about to go. God, you allow them to get ready, prepare, stay in the Word, focus on you. And God, for the ones who are just coming out, pray they can find rest in you. God, we love you, our shepherd. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're about to enter into a time of communion this morning, and this is something that we do weekly as a church.